sexy, spooky bones.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I am Rolando.
And I'm Johnny.
This week we will review...
That's all I got for you.
Yeah, that's okay. I just try to... Let's just move on quick. It's been...
Well, I can give you my best French. There you go.
Cool. Baguette. Croissant.
Croissant. French fries.
French fries. This week we will review the Val de Luc. Oh, I said that wrong. Val de Luc.
Verdelac?
Verdelac?
Verdelac.
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 Yeah.
You ever drive a Chevy Verdelac?
Yeah, I'm from Texas. Yeah. Steers and queers. As always, John will give us the plot in five words. We'll give our first thoughts, and then we'll go do a deep spoiler analysis. But John, make sure you're following us at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your podcatcher choice. You'll be able to hear such legendary episodes like us reviewing The Long Walk.
Salem's Lot.
Salem's Lot. Don't go that far back.
That is years ago.
Yeah. And we also are going to, because we feel like the recent horror offerings have been slim, we are going to do a little couple, let's call it a double feature of Giallo movies coming up. So
yeah, so get your favorite flavor, but none of that Bill Cosby stuff.
Flavored gelato.
Yeah, gelato. That guy's still alive?
I hope not, dude.
Damn, yeah, I feel like he is.
He's fucking blind and in prison, I think. Did he die? In prison?
Yeah, I don't know.
Nah, it doesn't matter. Piece of shit.
Fallen from grace, yep.
Strangely, that has a lot to do with the Val de Luc. It's a great segue, John, because we're... Bill Cosby being a piece of shit, it has everything to do with the Val de Luc. Before we do any of that, do you want to give us...
Verdelac?
Words are hard, John. Words are hard. Yes. All right. Do you want to give us the plot in five words?
Johnny.
Five words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
For the ver, the val, the ver, the ver, the lac. Coming in at number three, ungrateful family takes in French.
That was a little bit of a Swedish chef. I like that.
The Verdelac.
The Verdelac.
And coming in at number two for the Verdelac, proof old family members suck.
A plus.
And coming in at number one for the Verdelac, call me by your twilight.
There it is. If you haven't surmised from John's perfect five-word plot summaries, it is a vampire movie. Of sorts.
Yeah, of sorts, yeah. It might also be a puppet movie.
Like the Swedish Chef.
Exactly.
But yes, the Verdelac. It is... you recommended this movie, and I'm just curious... how did you hear about this movie?
It's been on a handful of lists that I've seen about an unsettling sort of slow horror movie.
Okay.
And I got to say it's more artsy than anything else, but if I'm being honest, I really enjoyed it.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was a kind of a nice little like, to me, it gave me the same impression of like sort of playwright style that we saw in Kaiden.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I kind of witnessed the same thing. I think it's very arty. It's not very like horror forward, I guess. Which is kind of like a thing we've been wrestling with recently because of the string of movies we've watched. You know, and I feel like this movie leans more on the artistic, more expressionist side, you know.
Yeah. I will give it, this would definitely be considered a horror movie if it was made in like in the 50s or 60s, right?
Yeah, I mean.
Like if this was, if you watched this as a play, it'd be a horror play.
Okay, like gothic, right? Like gothic horror kind of thing.
Because
like if this was like from the 50s. This was shown like in the 50s and 60s.
Big
they'd be
booty, big boob, gothic chicks.
They'd be terrified because they were scared of the light bulb and, you know, trains coming at them at the theater.
I mean, you ever really think about the light bulb? That shit's insane. I don't know.
We just
I
look accept at them like, it. For,
yeah. I'm glad they're all LED now because it's scary.
Yeah. I was less high on this movie, and I don't know why I didn't connect with it offhand. I did enjoy that it was shot on 16 millimeter, right? Like super 16 millimeters, what I read, which it has a really cool mm-hmm. look to it. That was the first thing you starkly notice about the movie because it has that sort of old looking quality. But honestly, I think, and the story was kind of set up like as a, like, if you know, if anybody's known or read Dracula or seen any of the movies, it sort of opens with a man or whoever going to the castle, right? And so it felt like that setup in the beginning where we have this, what is it, like Marquis? The
nobleman.
Yeah. He's traveling and gets lost, and they tell him, oh, go to this house or whatever, and they'll guide you to where he ever needs to go. And
like it's raining, it's dark, and like it's that way. They're like, yeah, do you mind if I just spend the night here? Like, no, fuck you, go away, go. Like, but it's that way.
Yeah, pretty much.
Nope, get out of here.
And so it's an interesting, very familiar kind of setup to a sort of vampire movie, maybe even like a ghost story, right, where somebody comes in the middle of the night, and this house is, there's something going on with the family. And and for whatever reason, I just didn't, to me, the elephant in the room, this is like, did this puppet vampire work? To kind of explain, it's kind of like, he's supposed to be the father of the family the guy has like a family's, it's his house, right? But like, he has like a daughter or like a couple of children, and then
he has like
a couple sons. I mean,
couple sons, yeah.
And then he has like a wife, and then they kind of almost seem like they're gypsy-ish. That's the impression I got from them.
Something like that, yeah.
And he has a father, and the father, and this is the big thing. He's the Vordalok, right? He's the vampire. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's a spoiler or not, but it happens very early on in the movie. But he is presented as he's a puppet,
yes,
which sounds crazy, which sounds like something Jason Segel made in Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Yeah.
But I don't know,
and I feel like it did work for me. Okay. Like I feel like at first glance when you watch, you're like, ugh. But whoever voiced it did a really good job, and the expressions are at least enough unsettling that you're like, this guy's obviously a vampire. Like, he's obviously been dead for a while.
Yeah.
And the puppeteering was pretty good. Like, it wasn't like the arms were flopping all over the place or anything like that. It wasn't like a Muppet, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Okay. Yeah. Or I go back and forth. I think I was more mixed on it, because I could see it and suspend my disbelief on certain points, right? Where like, oh, this is working. Like you said, like the voices, the acting is really good, or the voice actor is really good. And there's some nice like moments created, you know, a couple of scary scenes with it. Some worked, some didn't. There's one early on where like he's in the bed with our main Marquis or whatever. And I thought that was funny. I just took me out. That whole sequence was shot like suspenseful sequence or whatever, like a nightmare.
Yeah.
And that scene completely took me out of it. I just more giggled or laughed or thought it was kind of funny. So I was tonally, I feel like it was, for me, it was like off. Like it was.
Yeah. Which I'm inclined to believe that this movie is supposed to be somewhat of a dark comedy of sorts.
Okay.
You know, I think it's partially because like our main protagonist is really goofy. Mm-hmm. Like there's nothing, how to explain it? Like he's not the first person I would expect to be like, oh, he's going to defeat this vampire.
Right.
Which I guess we'll get more into in spoilers, but you know.
Right. Right. I just feel like every time we had the whatever this character with this Muppet or whatever, that's not the right term. What's a good term for this vampire?
The father.
He was doing very serious, horrific things like killing a dog, feeding on family members, and had a gun. So it's just like, and there is a little bit of like, the way it's presented, like, I feel like the eyes weren't that super expressionist either. Like, you kind of, they...
No, they weren't. They're, it was almost like the eyelids were missing.
Right. Which was, I think was a choice, but it also made it less functional in a way, less believable. So, like, this movie, in my opinion, totally hinges on whether or not you buy into this concept of this presentation of, like, a vampire that's a sort of puppet, is a lack of a better word to describe it.
Yeah.
And so I had trouble, had mixed feelings about how it was presented.
Yeah. I actually had mixed feelings about how the story is presented. So this nobleman, it just starts off, he's just lost in the forest. He had no intention of going to this place.
Yeah.
and then he's just kind of stuck there, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, okay. I'm like, why has he doesn't leave because he's entranced? I don't know.
Right.
He's like, oh, this woman's so strange. I want her. That's what I felt like. Oh, I like weird people. I'm a weird guy too.
Yeah, that was a little weird, that relationship, because he kind of has, like, built a relationship with the wife of this household,
or the daughter, question mark.
Oh yeah, because the wife was the other one that was taking care of the kid, right?
Yeah, it was so confusing because, like, most of them were his actual kids except for her, the mother, and then I don't know, it was the whole family lineage was very confusing.
Right. Because she's a bit of a... She's supposed to be, quote unquote, the daughter, but she looks a little older, which is why I think I confused her for the... In my opinion, she looked...
Because...
She looked like an old woman.
I kept getting confused that there's a gay son, mm-hmm. and I kept thinking that he was the son of that other guy, but no, they were brothers. I was like, fuck, this is so confusing. Mm. I think they're trying to push that the Vardalakt is just, like, you know, keeps having kids because he needs to feed.
Oh, I didn't catch that. Maybe I wasn't paying attention enough. That the kid, the blonde, the old...
The brother of the guy that's not the dad, that's his older brother. Because towards... the middle, when you get presented with the vampire, I forgot what his name is, he explains, like, oh, your older brother, blah blah blah, and I'm like, oh, well, he didn't actually say blah blah blah. That's not the vampire trope they used in this. but yeah, it was like, I'm so confused.
Wow. Yeah, that's that. Also, you should probably say this movie is, like, in French, so there are subtitles. So it's
hard to follow if you're not glued to subtitles.
I can see that being a little jarring, because so then the guy that kept trying to go after his father, he was the son, and that was his brother, and that was his one of the son's daughters that the Marquise falls in love with, and then he has a wife and he has a younger kid too, younger son.
Yes.
Oh, fuck. Okay, well, I just put that together,
which I think, like, they present themselves as, like, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but I swear, because towards the end I was like, whoa, hold on, this is blowing my mind, that they presented themselves as, like, a immediate family, like father, mother, son, or whatever, to the Marquis. But I think just so he wasn't like, what do you mean? Until, like, because they all called the Vardalak father. They're like, oh, father hasn't come back yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, weird.
Like a weird setup, I guess. But I mean, it stems from what is it, like a gothic novella Tolstoy wrote?
Yeah.
Which is about, like... And you were telling me this earlier, that the Vardalak is a vampire that feeds on its family.
Yes, correct.
Which, did this ever pop up in What We Do in the Shadows? Because that would have been so funny.
Maybe. I don't know. It's just something you kind of skim over, because I think what people don't give What We Do in the Shadows enough credit for is, like, how it's, I think, accurate to most lores that they have in there. Yeah. They just have fun with it. But this is also something I forgot to mention was in the movie Black Sabbath, that one story about the vampire is also an adaptation of this Tolstoy.
Oh, yeah. Vardalak. Okay. It was an anthology, right? Movie?
Yes. Yeah. The one about, I think the last story. I don't remember. Yeah.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, do you have any other first thoughts before we get into spoilers here?
No, I don't think so. It's a pretty, it seems like a straightforward movie until it gets confusing at the end.
It's pretty much. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's go into spoilers then.
Wait! No, 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 stop, stop, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into...
spoilers.
The Vardalak pansexual.
Explain.
I really did enjoy that. It's like one of those things, because it almost seems like they presented there being a gay son to just present it. But no, I think it's like insinuating that it's not, the Vordalak will feed and love anyone. But he imprisons the Marquis because the Marquis wants to save Aja, his daughter, from this place. Mm-hmm. And then he escapes the prison because Aja goes in there and like lets him loose, allegedly. I don't think it was her, but then he goes and he decides to bang her when he finds her instead of running away
with her,
and looks in the mirror and sees that the Vordalak had tricked him and he was actually having sex with the Vordalak, and the Vordalak had bit him.
He was feasting on her.
And he's fully aware that he's a vampire now. And I thought that was really funny. The only reason he's able to kill the Vordalak, who has like supernatural abilities, we've seen him like slam somebody into a wall or like appear right behind somebody.
Right.
The only reason I think he's able to kill the Vordalak is because the Vordalak lets down his guard and basically explains how he has fallen in love with the Marquis and that he'd wish he had met him when he was younger, like all this stuff.
Right. So he wanted to feed on him.
And then it get, yeah. And this Vordalak had fed on everybody else already, made everybody else a vampire, which, how does this work out? The Marquis runs out, but not before setting fire to the castle, so everybody dies inside. Mm. And then he's aware that he's going to churn, finds Aja is by a cliff and the assumption she's about to jump, convinces her to move away, and I missed an important piece, but I didn't understand what that was until the very end. But convinces her to move away from the cliff, says, you know, you could be happy, here, take my, like, I don't know, whatever his credentials are, and go to France. You could live happily in France. You could have a full life in France. They'll treat you well. And as she's like reading the thing, he's like stepping back and going like, you can have a beautiful life or whatever. And backward jumps off and lets himself get killed off the cliff. Mm-hmm. And then as this is happening and the credits are rolling, we get clips of like, or sound bites of her going to France. And they're like, oh, she looks ghostly. She looks pale. And then there's like a sort of mid-credit scene, I think, right? Where she's chewing on a cloth full of blood like the Vordalak's wife was doing after the son bit her, because the son gets turned by the Vordalak first and the mother can't stand it and hugs the son and the son eats her. Mm. So she is a vampire continuing the legacy.
Yeah. That kind of sums it up. I mean, I don't know what else to go with that. I mean, I was going to make a joke about Robert Eggers taking the plot of this movie, but I don't think that was completely true.
Except Robert Eggers' version would be like when Nicholas Holt's there, he's like, just sign this contract. And he's like, why does it say that we're legally family now? Don't worry about it. Just do it. I'm hungry.
Yeah. I sleep in the nude. He blows out the candles.
I have very few sores on my body, but my cock is huge. I make the ladies go crazy.
I would say this movie's probably better than Robert Eggers.
I really enjoy it
too. Yeah,
it's weird. It's very artsy.
It didn't lead it too hard into the artsy side. Yeah, I think that I don't know, threw me off.
But I feel like I had a pretty solid ending. I really do like that the this Vordalak tricked this guy just so he could fuck him and then eat him.
Well, see, he was I would argue that the Marquise was imagining he was fucking her, but he was feasting on him, or was he just straight fucking him?
I think he was doing a little bit of both. I think he definitely would had his pants down and was like going in something. Maybe Vordalak's got a lot of holes because he's old, but you know, then was feeding on him, because there were subtle hints throughout the thing. Every time they met, right, he would say things like, oh, you taken a liking to my daughter. I mean, I guess I have to love you too. And it's like, what? And it kind of presents itself as like, oh, okay, it's because he needs him to be family to feed on him.
Right.
But I think he like fell in love with him.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, I just...
And it leads me to believe that not everybody was his son and daughter, but maybe they were all like his lovers.
Maybe that's how he feasted. Because one of the part of the what he says about this story is that he is a vampire that feeds on his family. So it's like direct by family, direct lineage, yeah. direct blood. So he feeds kind of just cannibalizing him, his own bloodline, right? Is the idea.
Something like that, yeah.
That's strange. So. Yeah, I see what you mean. It's a kind of a weird movie.
It's like a, this is a way better version of
Nosferatu.
Twilight.
Oh. I mean, yeah. I get what you mean.
Not like the bar is set high for that one, but
yeah, that's the other thing. But I would argue like this is an interesting movie. It's definitely worth the watch, but I don't could see a
you know what this movie is perfect for? Like a bar. Like you just have it playing while people are like talking and drinking, and then every once in a while they're like, "What the fuck is this?"
Wasn't that our whole conceit early on was like, oh, we're gonna open a bar, we're just gonna play weird movies.
Because where do we go? We used to go to some bar in Echo Park that kind of did that, right? Where they had like all these weird movies playing on like that's the screens, right? Yeah. Like, what the fuck is this?
Was it Jay's Bar?
Jay's Bar I think did do that, but no, there was a place that play like weird like a Robocop Vampire Hunter style like I think a Japanese movie, remember? Yes. That and like it was like, what is this?
There were Jay's Bar was playing Life Force and then Fallen Angels. I'm like, what are the choices here? Programming this brilliantly. All right, cool. Do you have any thoughts before we read the movie?
No.
All right,
ready to go.
John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones. Ooh, sexy bones. Well, I know what you know. Show us your sexy spooky bones.
No, wait, don't do that. Just rate the movie.
I'm going to give the Bordelac 7 sexy spooky bones.
7? You said?
Oh, yeah. Cool. Yeah. Give it 7.
I'm going to go 5. I thought it was just right down the middle. That was mixed.
Yeah.
There's things I can concede where like is, I can concede that this is very like artistic movie. So I thought the cinematography was really good. And I also thought like the camera
it's
work.
Very French.
Yeah, I really like the idea of shooting something like on Super 16mm. It definitely gives it a good look.
You know, it kind of had the same sort of vibe as, what was the name of that movie? That the dude, M83, did the soundtrack because his brother wrote and directed that movie. Yes. With Johnny Depp's ex-wife.
I think we looked this up last time. Is it The Editor? No, it was... No, it was the other one. It was the other 70s set porn movie that we...
I think we did like 3 or 4 movies in a row that were like present day set in the 70s or something.
Oh, yeah. And they're all like set in the CD world of porn and they're all being murdered. Strangely, yeah, a very familiar topic.
Not giallo.
It was like summer heart something. Not heart eyes. Knife and heart.
Knife and heart. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yes.
That sounds correct.
This was a couple of years ago we reviewed this movie. Knife plus heart, what it was. Very similar to The Editor, but The Editor was more tongue-in-cheek. Knife and Heart's a little more serious. If anybody's interested in hearing those reviews or checking out either one of those movies. I'll give it a 5. You gave it a 7. Cool. All right, guys, girls, non-binary pals, thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky.
You should do the Swedish Chef.